Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Have you ever been at a theater, music, or dance performance and felt it had a storyline that you just couldn't connect with? Odyssey Works, a performance group that creates, quote, immersive, durational experiences for an audience of one, end quote, invokes the exact opposite response. In fact, when you're the audience for an Odyssey, it's all about you on a deeply intuitive, intimate, even spiritual level. Co-founder Abraham Burickson and a revolving team of performance artists, musicians, designers, and more research a participant for months before creating a personalized Odyssey for their subject. Odysseys last anywhere from a day to several weeks, and in the past have included fictitious Amazon book reviews for an aspiring author, treks that crossed international borders, a kidnapping, and a personalized radio talk show delivered via a clock radio smuggled into the subject's home. Since Odyssey Works' inception about 15 years ago, the group has delivered 18 personalized works, since each one requires months of research and preparation. In an effort to amplify their message, the group recently published a book about the process, and they also give lectures and conduct experience design workshops, like the one being held Saturday, in conjunction with the Stoop Storytelling Project at Single Carrot Theater. Co-founder Abraham Burickson is joining us in studio today to tell us more about Odyssey Works, and later we'll be joined by his assistant director, Aidan LaRue, who's performed in many, but also been on the receiving end of an Odyssey. Abraham Burickson, welcome to On the Record.
So thanks for having me.
What you create is of course unique and perhaps hard for a listener to wrap her mind around. How do you describe what you do?
We like to say imagine waking up one day and finding yourself immersed in a performance that's all about you. And when you're imagining that, then you imagine that the performance takes place in your home, at your workplace, all over the city where you live, and that the other actors and performers are your friends and family, and an eclectic group of artists and performers, many of whom you've never even met. If that's happening to you, if you wake up one day in the middle of this thing, it's because you filled out one of our questionnaires, say, 6 months earlier, and you knew that this weekend you were giving over to us. And what you'll encounter on that weekend might be a walk with a friend. It might be a huge performance in a public space, a dance performance. It might be reading a novel that somebody said you ought to read. And when you read it by your favorite author, perhaps Italo Calvino or Borges, you notice that all the characters in it seem to have something to do with the people in your life, and the narratives seem to have something to do with the themes in your life and the things you've been talking to your friends and family about. And then you find yourself traveling on this journey, which is often, usually, a physical journey, but also a symbolic and narrative journey through the inner and outer landscape of your life. So we work with actors who might play roles, and we also work with the people you know who would play themselves, say your mother. If we need somebody to play your mother, we just call her up and ask her to come by and sit down with you and have an interaction with you that might be genuine. We don't ask her to pretend not to be your mother, but we're designing a series of experiences for you in which your mother might play a key role, and she plays that key role based on the role that she has with you in your life. So our performances bleed between reality and fiction, and in that way, they become meaningful for our audience members, for our participants. And so, yes, there's only one audience member for our performances, but we bring in the public as well. They help create scenes. So an Odyssey, even though it's for an audience of one, can get quite large.
Boy, there's so much there to try to unpack. So the target of the Odyssey, the participant in the Odyssey, the focus of the Odyssey, has asked for it. They've basically applied for it, and mm-hmm. they've given you a lot of information to start with, and then you get a lot more information. And I don't think I can quote you precisely, but you just said a minute ago, it bleeds between reality and fiction and is therefore more powerful. Why is that more powerful than reality?
More powerful than reality. That's interesting. I thought you were going to say more powerful than fiction. You know, it's interesting. When you go to the movies or you read a book, right, there's something powerful to that. There's something that makes you look at it. There's a narrative structure, and you look at it. The story is moving to you because you can see it, and you can kind of hold it in your hand conceptually, whereas when things are happening narratively in your life, it's all enormous and you're sort of too close to it, right? So in a way, artworks that are narrative have this meaning building capacity because you can actually behold it, whereas your life has a meaning building capacity because you're there in it. But sometimes it takes a while to kind of step back and see the big picture. What we're doing is we're moving between the two. We're allowing you to move around in the symbolic world of your life, but also to understand it in some sense as a built narrative. So it's a novel. You appreciate the way it works, but you also understand that it really is your life. That was your mother. That was your mother that you had that conversation with, not a character pretending to be your mother.
Your mentioning mother is interesting to me because part of what went through my mind when I read about the work that Odyssey Works does is that at some level it's almost, it seems to me, like what really involved parents who have the resources and freedom to throw themselves into raising their kids. They curate experiences like this for their kids all the time.
Absolutely.
It doesn't happen to us as adults, usually.
Not so much. And that's too bad. Why not? Why not?
That's Abraham Burikson, co-founder of Odyssey Works, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Odyssey Works creates immersive experiences for an audience of one. Burikson is hosting a workshop about the process in conjunction with Astute Storytelling at Single Carrot Theater on Saturday. So I think some of our listeners must be thinking, and maybe I should get to this question by using a phrase that the New York Times used when it profiled what you do in 2012. They used the phrase, a beautiful inefficiency, to describe one of these very resource-intensive experiences for one person. Who pays for this elaborate experience?
Well, that depends. There are different ways that it happens. The way we really like to work is an organization commissions us. And then when they commission us, we put the call out to usually a specific geographic area, and we ask for applications. Other times, individuals will commission us, or say university, something like that. But when it's an organization that commissions us, we put out the call and we offer it for free. And that's that turns it into a kind of a gift, not just from us to the person or from the festival to the person, but from everybody involved to that person and from that person to us, because what they're offering is a gold mine, right? It's amazing when somebody opens up their whole life to you, their friends, their family, their symbolic world, their narrative world, their aesthetic world, and allows you to use that to create a piece of work. It's a whole new territory. So it becomes a kind of reciprocal gift in that way. And then everybody on the team has that as a common center of gravity in a way. It's not 100 different subjectivities trying to work together. It's all of us trying to move empathetically in the direction of that one person.
Empathetically.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just said 100, it's not 100 different subjectivities. Is 100 a good round number for to describe how many artists are working to create this work?
You know, there are people at varying levels of commitment to one of our productions, and we have no audience, right? We have that one person who's the participant, but they're not passive, they're very active. And then nobody comes and ever sits in a chair and watches. What we do is we have our core team of designers who create the overall structure of the experience, and then we work with artists who've worked with us for a while, anything from graphic designers to dream analysts to computer hackers, musicians, composers, dancers, people who are core to the team. And then we reach out to other artists who we need for any particular performance. Say, you know, we need a magician. So somebody in our network knows a magician, or there's a magician we used 6 years ago, or are they still available, or we put it out onto our email list. And so then they come on as needed. And then we have these large public scenes. Most of the stuff is in our performance is very intimate, you know, sometimes just you and a friend. But sometimes we like to also be able to get quite large. And so we create scenes with the help of the public at large. And even those people can come and join us for rehearsals. Sometimes they're with us for as much as a month. Sometimes they just show up on the day of. So you'll have 50, 75 people in one of these scenes. And so when you start to look at this, at this sort of ever-expanding group of people, you have maybe 100, 125 in a larger performance.
And you gave us the example of performances that are commissioned. But if I love someone and want them to have such an experience, can I individually commission?
You can.
And what would it cost me?
It starts at $35,000.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you consider that you're commissioning a main stage play, you know, you can see that there's a lot of people involved.
There's a lot of resources involved. I mentioned the workshop that you're giving Saturday. What will happen at the workshop?
So glad you asked. And by the way, this is another way that we're supporting our work. The workshop is an extension of the project that we started with the book. And it's an opportunity for us to work with the public in our process of designing experiences. And probably the key starting point for what we do is moving into an empathetic place. That is to say, whatever we're making, whether it be a piece of music or a scene involving an actor or a short story, we start from the empathetic understanding of the person who's going to experience it. And you take that a step further, you see that anything that's designed, anything that's created can be understood this way. And so we're trying to take that attitude, that approach to design, which, you know, includes what is commonly called experience design, but goes much larger, into this workshop where people will come and we will introduce them to our interview process and then into our design process. And it's for anyone. It's for anyone who creates anything, because no matter what you're creating, it's going to be for somebody. Even if it's for yourself, there's kind of an empathetic understanding of the experience that comes from that. So people will come and they will get into our interview process and they will begin trying to understand how to develop work, in this case, a lived experience, from the point of view of that other. Not only will they do that, they will at the same time have something created for them. It's a lot to do in 4 hours, but it's really intense.
It is a lot to do. What do you hope that people take away from the workshop?
Well, literally, they're going to take away a package, and that package will have an experience designed for them. When they get home, they'll open that up, and it will have a set of instructions, and they will execute what has been designed for them, usually with a friend, probably at home, although it might be in the city, somewhere in the city where they live, and it will involve their symbolic and narrative life in a more affecting way. It's like a tiny little odyssey. So literally, they'll walk away with that. But we also want them to walk away with a sense of how to design and create from an empathetic point of view. And we would love for people to take that into their work as graphic designers, as dancers, as plumbers, anything, right? Because no matter what you do, you're engaging somebody else.
This is so interesting, and there's so much more to talk about. We need to take a quick break here on the record. We're talking with Abraham Burickson, co-founder of Odyssey Works, a performance group that creates tailored, immersive experiences for an audience of one. Abraham Burickson is the co-founder. He's been telling us about it and about a workshop that will take place Saturday. When we come back, we'll be joined by Abraham's assistant director. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Today we're talking with Abraham Burickson, co-founder of Odyssey Works, about the group's unique, elaborate performance odysseys designed for an audience of one. Joining us on the phone now from Austin, Texas, is Assistant Director Aidan LaRue. She's also co-author of their book titled Odyssey Works, published last fall. Aidan's been on both sides of an odyssey as a participant, recipient, as well as a performer. Aidan, glad to meet you.
Hi, good to talk with you today.
So how did you become involved with Odyssey Works?
My dear friend Arielle Abraham introduced me and Abraham, God, it was maybe like 5.5 years ago, And at the time, I was making work. I'm a visual artist primarily and writer, and I was making work that was really about creating the exchange of what it is to have an intimate correspondence of letters. And so at the time, my work was really aligned in a lot of the thinking and ideas behind what created Odyssey Works. And Ariel was like, oh, you have to meet Abraham. And we just really clicked the first time we met and have been working together ever since.
So, Abraham, let me ask you, why should someone apply to go on an Odyssey?
That's a good question, right? And I think for some people, the answer is you shouldn't, right? If you don't want your life examined, if you don't want to be opening everything up to become material for artwork, then you shouldn't apply. However, if you've ever been moved by art, performance, music, literature, you've had an experience where the work that you've encountered has somehow, it's like it matched your DNA. You know what I mean? It's like you walked and you're like, oh, that piece of music. You know, for me, one of those pieces is Gretzky's Third Symphony. I listened to it for the first time and I thought, that was made for me. That was made for me because it fit into my way of seeing the world like a key into a lock, and it opened me and I was deeply moved. Well, this is a more intentional approach to that. What we do is we try and create that experience for you in many different disciplines. So it's about loving art and performance.
Well, Aidan, tell us what your Odyssey was like.
You know, it was interesting to be on the other side.
You had already been involved in creating Odysseys, right?
Yeah, I mean, this Odyssey happened just in November. So I was about to move across the country. I'd been living in New York for about 8 years. And I was in a huge turning point in my life where I was leaving New York and moving to Austin, Texas with my partner. And it was a huge, big thing to leave the place that I loved so much. And receiving this Odyssey was kind of the best farewell gift that I could have had. And it was an epic journey that I feel like encapsulated and almost even began the moving process for me. And in many ways was the continuation of a sort of journey and pilgrimage that I had already started visiting a series of these sites for land art in the Southwest, and brought me from New York to Virginia through Baltimore. And the whole 2 days of my Odyssey were one part of one long pilgrimage to go see this work of art that I didn't even know existed, but that was in Virginia.
That's Aidan LaRue, Assistant Director of Odyssey Works here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Aidan is joining us by phone from Austin, and the co-founder, Abraham Burikson, co-founder of Odyssey Works, which creates immersive experiences for an audience of one. Aidan, what is the biggest difference, do you think, between being a participant and being a performer, being the object of an Odyssey and being someone who creates it?
That's a good question. I think that one of the things I've noticed is, you know, we all spend months thinking and talking and studying and breathing and dreaming about this one participant. So for me, I really understood what it was like to have that level of attention on me. And the hugest difference, I think, was that because I knew what that process looked like as a maker of Odysseys, there was a lot less paranoia for me. I think I, like, experienced it all as just sort of, like, complete trust that I was going to be held in my process throughout that journey. And, you know, I expected, funnily enough, that I would be better at talking about Odysseys after receiving one, but I think the opposite is maybe true. If anything, I've realized now just how intricate and nuanced and complicated they are to describe to other people. Like, summarizing what happened on my Odyssey feels utterly impossible and insufficient. Like, I experienced emotions that I didn't know existed and that don't have words in the English language for me. And so I wish it had made it easier for me to explain and present to the world. But if anything, I've realized that it's ultimately distilled down to this deep feeling that really only resides in me.
That's striking to me. Abraham, given that certainly a producer slash participant like Aidan, but even your typical participant who's filled out a big application and knows that this is constructed in some way, why is it so powerful when it's not as if it the universe unmediated delivered this to you? It was created by fellow human beings.
Right. Well, you know, in the end, we're making art, right? We're making art, and everybody knows that the art that you see is created. And when art is really effective, when it's really good, it's moving, right? You step in front of a painting that touches you, and you're moved, like, kind of, it's almost literal. You are standing there, and then you behold the thing, and everything in you is in a different place when you're done. And I think, you know, we overload that experience in many ways.
Don't know what you mean by that.
I mean, we have it going on for 24 hours, right?
Oh, an Odyssey works.
In an Odyssey performance, right? We overload it. You are going through, you know, some things may hit and some things may miss, but we've studied you well enough to get some idea of what works. And then we give you many opportunities to engage with work that way. And one thing that happens, that we found that happens when you are in something for so long, is your mind opens and your heart opens. You become much more receptive, right? It's like if you ever go out in the woods for 2 days, go hiking for 2 days, you know, at the beginning, maybe you thought, oh, this is pretty. But by the end, when you're relaxed, if it's a really good trip, you're so much more receptive. Your mind is quieted. You can focus, right? People change. And so we take advantage of the fact that we're working through time, we're working with duration, to allow people time to open up. And then we present them with these experiences, and they're received in a much more profound way. It's a real immersion, basically. I mean, total, temporal, physical, psychological immersion into the work, to the point where it doesn't matter that it's created. I mean, the city's designed, isn't it? But you live in it, right? You think of it as just your life.
I mentioned the book that you two co-authored and published last November called Odyssey Works. Why did you write it?
You know, you mentioned the New York Times quote and that it's a beautiful inefficiency. And it's slow, you know? We really are putting an inordinate amount of resources towards one person at a time, and I don't think we've done any more than two performances a year. It's usually one or two participants a year. So that's a slow-moving thing. And yet we see such resonance and profundity to the impact that these odysseys have on people's lives. So we're seeing the transformative power, and we want to share some of those methods and the practices that we've arrived at. I also really believe that there are ramifications for some of these practices outside of artistic practice. Our book is written with the hopes that they can help people who aren't just artists.
Right. It's like we've been doing research for 15 years, and, you know, any good researcher will share their findings with, you know, with the public so that the conversation can continue.
Last question, Abraham. Do you feel that you're achieving what you set out to do 15 years ago?
Oh, well, we're never done. I feel like we've made great progress, but there's always more to explore, Sheila.
Well, keep in touch with us as you do that.
We will.
It sounds like you're embarked in a very interesting work. Abraham Bergson, co-founder of Odyssey Works, and assistant director Aidan LaRue on the phone with us from Austin, Texas. I thank you both.
So nice talking with you.
Thank you so much.
You can attend an Odyssey Works Experience Design Workshop to learn about the process Saturday at Single Carat Theater in conjunction with the Stoop Storytelling Project. We have a link to the information at the On the Record page at wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Come back tomorrow.